As Nebuchadnezzar had to learn in Daniel chapter 4, the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. There has been enormous anticipation for the U.S. election that took place last week. The polls, again, did not see this coming. They did not see the Donald coming back to win even more than he did in 2016. He defied the odds, even though they impeached him, convicted him, and brought enormous lawfare against him. And of course, as we're all aware, even two attempts to take his life failed. You do get the sense that if the Lord does rule in the kingdoms of men, as we know he does, he must have a plan for this man. On the ground, world leaders are scrambling. They never imagined that the Donald would be back in the White House in 2025. And apart from some shock event, it seems he will be back in January. In Britain, the governing Labour Party had sent 100 members to assist in canvassing for Team Harris. Trump's campaign called the move foreign election interference. And this after Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister there, installed David Lammy as the Foreign Minister, even though he had a history of inflammatory comments regarding Trump. Now with Trump's win, there is this sinking feeling that is there, that there is a large, humble pie that is ready to be eaten. In France, they are calling for Europe to unite and become independent. French President Emmanuel Macron is saying Europe needs to grow some teeth or risk being eaten by the world's carnivores. In Russia, Trump has advised Putin not to escalate the war in Ukraine. Of course, this is a wild card and one from Bible prophecy's perspective we look and watch closely, simply because Russia being the northern invader in Ezekiel 38, we know that in the end, Russia will be triumphant in Europe. But for now, will it pause? Russia's doing incredibly well right now, apparently, on the front lines in Ukraine, and Ukraine is losing ground. So Russia may not be in any quick hurry to end their war in Ukraine. Will Trump be able to do something there? He's boasted that he could. We'll see. On Ukraine, for their part, Trump has already been on the phone with Zelensky. It was apparently a good call. However, an incredible tweet was sent out by Trump's son, Don Jr. It was he sent out a tweet with an emoji of Zelensky surrounded by dollar bills raining down and the words, "Your allowance is about to come to an end." So changes in Ukraine no doubt will be coming. The speculation is that Trump will force both sides to agree to a ceasefire and on Ukraine's side agree to not join NATO for a suggested 20 years. Regardless, there is months left between now and when Trump comes into office. And the question is, on that side, what will Russia be able to accomplish? Will they be in a hurry themselves to try and end the bloodshed? Again, we watch this space. The Middle East, this is a shockwave that's going through the Middle East, with the DW News running the headline, "Middle East looks ahead to the return of dealmaker Trump." The Time magazine's article they ran, "Donald Trump's return could bring a more peaceful Middle East." Incredibly, a lot of these magazines were calling Trump Hitler not long ago. However, the reality of the situation may not be as dire as they see it. Although, as we'll talk about, I don't know that there's a guarantee that Trump's second presidency will look like the first. There is signs that we'll talk about. In Afghanistan, incredibly, the Taliban have announced they are looking forward to a new chapter with Trump. So after the disastrous pullout of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan, the Taliban is now looking to be recognized by the United States. The PLO, when Trump came out of office last time, Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, was doing his best to just live out the days until Trump was removed from office and a more friendly White House administration would come in. With the sign of Trump coming back in, he has said that he looks forward now to working with Trump on a comprehensive peace agreement. You know, the reality is that Jerusalem is in Israel's hands. Trump has made that clear when he was president last time. The question is, I think on all these leaders' minds, what can they do to get on Trump's good side is for what most of it looks like. In one of the most amazing moves, Qatar, who was allowing the leaders of Hamas to reside there and frankly take cover there, announced within a day or two of Trump's winning of the presidency that Hamas was no longer welcome in Qatar and that Qatar would no longer play a mediator role. And they've also asked that Israel does not target Hamas leaders while they're in Qatar. So it's behind the scenes was Israel saying to Qatar, either you remove them or we'll eliminate them on your soil. Either way, it seems that with Trump's entrance, the writing on the wall was clear. Iran, incredibly, was threatening Israel left, right, and center with another escalating attack. And from what I can see, for the most part, it's gone relatively quiet. There is a lot less being said from Iran. Immediately, the day after Trump won, or I suppose it would be the day that he won because it gets into the morning, the moment it became clear, Iran's currency hit the dirt. And Trump has already announced that they are going to bring back the maximum pressure campaign against Iran. Now, we could continue to talk about world leaders. They're all coming to terms with the return of the Donald. But at home, the Democrats are in shock. They're now blaming each other, pointing fingers, even going on Fox News to blame each other. Their campaign has been left in debt. But the real question is, what will happen with Israel? I have not felt myself personally that you could trust a Trump presidency 2.0. It may be that it stays in line with the first presidency. Again, time will tell. Trump's known to change his mind. And all these people that are trying to cozy up to him now, will it affect it? I don't think anyone can say with 100% certainty what 2025 is going to look like. Already Trump has tweeted out that both Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo, who were very pro-Israel voices in the administration last time, they will not be joining the administration this time. He didn't need to mention it, but he did. He tweeted out that it was they would not be joining the team. Also, the ex-Fox News host and now podcaster Tucker Carlson has been seen at the heart of the Trump campaign and has been given unprecedented access to film the behind-the-scenes of the campaign. He was tapped to speak at Trump's larger events, and he has an enormous following. And for his time at Fox News, for the most part, he avoided saying anything on Israel. There was a bit of a silence on that subject. But he has, since being fired from Fox News, he has shown that he has a great interest in conspiracy theories, even with UFOs. But more importantly, He's not a friend of the Jewish people, and he recently platformed a Holocaust denier who made outrageous claims. And it was a troubling moment. And it was even worse by the fact that Elon Musk, who is also trying to show that he's friendly with Israel, Netanyahu even invited him to his speech in Congress earlier this year. But he commented on that video, very interesting, this Holocaust-denying interview with Tucker Carlson. Very interesting, worth watching. So there are question marks, and if you follow the Jewish news, truly they have question marks, because what is Trump 2.0 going to look like? And so we all watch this space. There is, however, many around Trump that still obviously love the Jewish people and the homeland. And Jerusalem already sees that there's positive signs. Trump's pick for the UN ambassador to the UN. She is apparently very pro-Israel. What happened in Qatar seemingly looks positive. Netanyahu was one of the first world leaders that Trump spoke to. And Trump may actually feel a kinship with Netanyahu, as in Israel, the left is doing everything they can to get Netanyahu removed from office. They are now playing the lawfare game, using all they can to bring Netanyahu's cabinet down. They're also trying to unseat Itamar Ben-Gvir. So they have a maximum pressure campaign on Netanyahu right now. And so maybe Trump sees that, and that gives them sort of a kinship. Also, it came out, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, published the other day that Iran had operatives in the U.S. trying to assassinate Trump. Trump had mentioned this a few months back, but now they've released the names, and the reality of the threat can be seen by all. So Trump's not going to be incredibly interested in appeasing Iran. I think that's highly unlikely. And as for the situation in Gaza, a few months back, Trump had this to say: "We better have our hostages back before I take office, or there will be a big price to pay." So that is, for Israel, that was a certainly a promising moment. The question really is for us, as we watch Bible prophecy, we expect peace to come to Israel. And the Abraham Accords were truly a fundamental change in the Middle East. Warm peace between Israel and its neighbors was something that had not been seen before. And so, as we mentioned, Time Magazine's article, "Donald Trump's Return Could Bring a More Peaceful Middle East," it certainly is what we are most interested in. Saudi Arabia seems to speak out of both sides of its mouth. Time will tell. But in an incredibly troubling event that took place on the European continent in Amsterdam, there was a pogrom last week. And on the anniversary of Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, when all the Jewish businesses and homes, the shop windows were broken, synagogues were burnt, that was with Nazi Germany, as the true spirit of the Nazis started to show itself. So you had mobs hunting for Jews through Amsterdam. They were calling it a Jew hunt. And the Dutch government ignored warnings from Israel ahead of time, it seems, that such a thing could take place. This was surrounding a soccer match. So the world has been crying, all the anti-Israel forces, the Palestinian mobs, have been calling to globalize the Intifada. Well, this is what it looks like. Geert Wilders from Holland had this to say. He says, "I am speechless. The Amsterdam police just confirmed that no one has been arrested during the Islamic Jew hunt in Amsterdam Thursday night. All arrests have been made before and during the soccer match, and not during the pogrom." So it certainly is an incredible moment. We saw October the 7th, with it happening on Israel's borders. And now, and with Russia's moves, we've seen war come back to the continent. And now, in 2024, we've seen pogroms come back to the continent. And however we may look at the signs and think there's troubling things for Israel as they look at those that surround Trump, regardless, there is little doubt among the majority in Israel which candidate they were praying for. There was many in Israel that had prayer meetings and were really hoping for Trump to win. And actually a huge swing among the Jewish population in the United States as well, as they swung toward Trump. Unfortunately, the time with Biden in office has been something that Israel has had to endure. And after October 7th, there's a lot more clear eyes in the Jewish community as to the enemies of Israel. And the danger is, and this is the next thing that we watch, the danger is that in the next couple of months, what will the Biden administration do on the Israel front? Because when Obama lost to Trump in 20, I suppose the election would have been 2016, in the last few months, they passed or allowed to pass at the UN Resolution 2234. Which called for Israel's establishment of settlements in Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem. Israel's establishment of those settlements had no legal validity, constituting a flagrant violation under international law and a major obstacle to the vision of two states living side by side in peace and security within internationally recognized borders. This was a slap to Israel. And the United States, the thing to understand is at the Security Council, the United States has a veto, the veto power, so they can overturn and block any resolution. Sorry, they can block, but they cannot overturn resolutions that have already passed. So the resolution 2234 still holds. That could not be overturned by Trump's team afterwards. So Trump, what they did, the other way is they recognized Jerusalem and moved the embassy, but they couldn't remove Resolution 2234. So if Biden, on his way out, if the administration decides that they want to do something historic, there is all sorts of things they could do, including recognizing the Palestinian state. This is something Israel obviously hopes does not happen, but this is going to be the concern, and this is the danger, is what the next couple of months look like before Trump's team takes office. Now, in the end, it's obvious that we can look at all these events and they can all seem so natural on the surface, and yet the angels are at work. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control, and he is directing the events in the world. And after all, we have to remember that he is in control. And with such an incredible election as what we saw with the so-called, for the Republicans, certainly this was a landslide, by Trump winning all of the swing states now and looks like holding on to the House and the Senate, and even the popular vote, this gives Trump's team an enormous mandate to govern. And so, what is God going to use this time for? And obviously, it's going to bring us closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for Israel, after all they've been through over the last year, year and a half, it feels like a reprieve would be a blessing. But the enemies of Israel are not going away. They will only increase more and more as the day of Christ's coming approaches. And so we remember this, I think, is incredible to just keep in mind. When we look in Exodus chapter 1, and it's the Pharaoh has now arisen that doesn't remember Joseph, and he is concerned, the Egyptians are concerned of the Israelites and the power they had. But it says in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. So the more the Egyptians afflicted the Jewish people, the more the Jewish people multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. There's a few things there. Number one, when you afflict God's people, it is a time when the Jewish people, in fact, grow. It is exactly what we've seen. And if you subscribe to the Bible magazine, which we encourage you to do so, the latest one is in the mail. It's a little bit late. We apologize. But the latest one is in the mail. And the cover is The Unstoppable Rise of Zion. And this is the story, is that no matter what affliction they bring on the Jewish people, no matter what opposition there is, as we have seen since the founding of Israel and even before, of all the opposition, all it has done is actually strengthen the state, it has strengthened the people, and it is actually bringing them closer to being aware of God's hand. But so it is actually ends up being a positive thing for the Jewish people. But notice that it grieved the Egyptians, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the world is bothered. The world is bothered because for all that Israel, for all that they do to Israel, Israel only further succeeds. So we remember the words of Psalm 121, verse 4, and we close with these. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So we watch. We watch to see what will come of events in the United States. Both Britain and Canada have turned their back on Israel more recently with arms embargoes and threats. What will we see in the time before Trump comes in? We watch. And even when Trump comes in, will it be a presidency equal to the last one? We watch because the Lord is at work, and we're only getting closer and closer to his return. So he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is at work, and we watch to see what comes out of these events. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Bible in the News. This is John Billington with you. Come back next week, and we will, all being well, God willing, if the Lord has not returned, we'll talk to you again. Take care.